Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM 89.0 throughout the Waikato. Hope you guys are having a good day out there. And today, we're joined straight away by our guest on the telephone, the local MP for the King Country, Taranaki and Waikato, Barbara Kruger. How are you going, Barbara?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. You hear me all right?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good.
We just hang that up. All right. So you're just telling me before you've been busy times.
Yeah, well, I've actually been at, this week I've been at the Oceania Summit that was up in Auckland, and it was based a lot of it around ag tech. And so really keen to see what was on the boil around, trying to get some of these methane reductions down. There's a few things people are working on, various forms of seaweed. There's some other products that, you know, additives that are starting to become available now that we might be able to feed to the cows. But we've got a wee way to go, because it's a bit of an issue to fix.
Yeah, I do remember reading somewhere, was it out of Italy or Spain or somewhere, that a macro algae or something, was it 5% of the cow's diet reduces methane by 90% or something like that?
Yeah, there's a seaweed called Asparagopsis. It's a form of a red seaweed, and apparently it's quite effective. So the thing will be, how fast can we grow it and how can we administer it will be the thing. And also with those sort of things, everyone's always checking the milk as well to make sure that, you know, there's no flavour and no taint and all of that sort of stuff. But but all in all, it's I think it's looking promising.
Well, that's great news. Yes. And I guess for people who don't know, Barbara, what portfolios are you the spokesperson for at present?
Agriculture, biosecurity, and food safety.
All right.
All quite connected portfolios, actually. And the agriculture one keeps me extremely busy. The biosecurity one, when we start talking about threats of foot and mouth disease and things like that, certainly start to come to light.
But, for sure.
But luckily we've managed to keep it out, and I hope we continue to keep it out, because what we don't want in New Zealand is foot and mouth, because it will become way worse than what mycoplasma bovis was, because that was really bad for farmers. It was a really tough time. It was hard watching all those cows go off, but it was never an issue with the meat, and it was never a trade issue, because there aren't other countries in the world. Most of them already have M. bovis, so you know, we were the ones that were trying to eliminate it. Most other countries had it. But if we got foot and mouth, it would be a completely different picture, because we'd have to renegotiate our trade deals again, because we could no longer say we were foot and mouth free.
Yeah, and where is it at in Indonesia at the moment with that?
It is in Indonesia. Not so worried about, people are a little bit worried about things coming in on ships. I think MPI's got a pretty good handle on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I, just worry more, and there's no direct flights from there into our country at the moment. But I, we are quite vigilant at the border, and MPI is doing a lot of work at the border just to make sure. And I know it's a bit of a pain as a traveller when you're coming back through to have everything slowed down, but the risk is too great not to do that. So it made it to Australia, but it wasn't a live version of foot and mouth. It came into Australia in a piece of meat.
Right.
And but it was very benign. It was benign, so it wasn't actually live. So, but as soon as it comes to your navy, you start to get a little bit panicky.
Yeah. I didn't actually hear about that one coming into Australia. Yes.
Yeah. So, but it was, as I say, it was benign. It didn't spread. It hasn't gone anywhere. So Australia doesn't have it. So that's always a bonus when your next door neighbour's okay.
Yeah, I've talked to a few people in Raglan here, and they've just been over to Bali, having a holiday or doing whatever, and I guess that's a high risk as well. People bring it back accidentally on their shoes or something like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's why we've got to be ever vigilant, and people that are travelling from destinations that we're concerned about are getting checked out more closely.
Yeah, all right. And the local governments, I suppose, have you had time to have a look at how everything's gone down in your constituency there? There's been big changes in the Waikato,
We had a change in Waipa, probably put a shout out to Jim Milchrist, who's done a very good job for a long period of time. Susan O'Regan is now the mayor there, so that's That's been a change, and I'm sure Susan's been on the council. I'm sure she'll do a good job as well.
Yep.
We're still waiting, I think. I haven't checked just in the last 24 hours, but Otahonga was too close to call.
Ah, right.
Yeah, and there was a new mayor I've got, because I've got Ruapehu, who they had a retirement there, so there's a new mayor over there. There's a new mayor in the Waikato, which covers your area.
Yes, yeah, Jackie Church got in there, yep.
Yep, and then down in New Plymouth there was quite a challenge, but the mayor came through that one. So, yeah, largely similar people there, but we did have the change in Waipa, and we're just waiting on Otahonga.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Yeah, it's been appears to be all through the council and the Waikato district and regional councils. Yeah, quite a high turnover of people. Yeah, there's an appetite for change, obviously, out there. Mm.
Well, there is a bit of change out there, and I mean, some was chosen and some wasn't. But you know, it's a bit of an interesting life being a local councillor, because you know, there's people that go, oh, I'd quite like to do that, but I don't know whether I want to put my head up. But you know, it's. You people a little bit nervous, I think, in the days of Facebook and those sorts of things. You know, just a little bit of abuse goes on sometimes.
Oh, absolutely, there does.
Goes on, and I think that makes people a bit nervous about putting their name forward as well.
Yeah. I think congratulations to everyone who has a go, for sure, because it's not easy putting yourself out there and doing that kind of thing.
Mm. No, absolutely.
And another thing I was just reading yesterday, was it? Yeah, I think it was yesterday. Here, Waki Ikenoa proposed split gas farm level emissions. It's supposed to be a world first. And they want to bring the pricing in from 2025. Have you had a chance to have a look at those ones?
Yeah, so that was the original model was one that the industry put together, and it started in 2019. A group of industry leaders got into a room, and they've been doing it for about 3 years now to try and actually get some sort of agreement on not just methane but nitrous oxide and how we deal with sequestration. And if you can imagine getting groups in the room, right from dairy and beef and lamb to horticulture, deer, a range of others, it's actually quite, to get agreement, there's always a bit of give and take. So
for sure.
They delivered that to the government a couple of months ago. I think it was in early June, and the government's had a chance to now have a look and come back with some suggestions for change. It's fair to say there's a bit of noise out there at the moment around that suggestion for change, for two reasons. One of them is we could lose 20% of our beef and sheep farms under the current settings that are in place. So that's bringing a lot of contention. I think it's something like 5% for dairy. But beef and lamb are really under the pump at the moment on this.
Right.
And so we don't want to do that, because our farmers are the most climate efficient farmers in the world. And if we give up our food production and it goes somewhere offshore, it's likely that it's going to be growing at a worse climate profile. So therefore, we haven't gained much climate wise. So finding solutions is still the best answer. And not having the settings, we've got to make sure the science is right and the settings are in the right place. And the other thing that people are disappointed about is they've come back and they've sort of not been overly abundant with options around sequestration. So I did notice this morning, you know, if you had someone on TV, I think it was the chair of Dairy and Veg, Jim Vanderpoel, talking about how you can class riparian strips of planting and put that into Hei Waka Ikenoa. But if you've planted the shelter belt over here, which may well be the same tree, they don't count. So there's a few anomalies like that, but it's a six-week consultation.
Yep.
And I encourage people to get in and have their say, because, yep, we've got to measure and manage these things, but we've got to make sure we do it with the best science and the best modelling that we can, because otherwise we could take ourselves a long way down the wrong track. Lose a lot of sheep and beef farmers, and that's not going to solve our problem.
Yeah, we wouldn't want the red meat and the dairy sectors to end up like poor old pork industry, where, you know, they're getting legislated out of even existing pretty much, and we're getting, you know, all our bacon and pork bits and that mostly from overseas, where the you know, the standards are way lower and all that.
Pork's a difficult issue, really, because we don't export pork, we only import it.
Yeah.
And the problem with pork, and there's a petition in front of our committee at the moment, actually Primary Production Select Committee, is that if we expect our farmers to do things to a certain standard, but we don't expect the pork coming into the country to be farmed with the same high standard, then, you know, we need some sort of equivalency for our own pork producers, because, and sometimes we don't even know where it comes from. Because I've got a sample label in my office that basically says this bacon is made from pork, which comes, could come from any one of, and it lists about 15 different countries.
Yes. No.
So if you think about country of origin labelling, none of it makes sense, really. And I think a lot of it is to do with how things are packed and processed. They put that label on so that you don't have to have 15 different labels. You can put all the countries on the same label, but at the end of the day, it doesn't help us know where it comes from and how it's farmed.
Yeah, exactly right. And I wonder if those same agribusiness leaders you were talking about before, there's also been a memorandum of understanding signed between agribusiness leaders and the government around a Centre for Climate Action on Ag Emissions thing. Is that tied in at all with...
I'm just waiting to see what that's going to do.
Yeah.
It's been in the budget. There's a lot of work to do, obviously, in that space, but even talking to some of the people out there who are involved in research, look, the money's there in terms of the shape of what that will look like and what it actually does. It's still not that clear. I hope that it's not going to be used for more buildings, because we already have universities.
Yep.
I think it would be best spent on, you know, the capability of the people and any sort of plant and equipment that might be needed to do special projects. But I wouldn't like to see another big building built, because actually I don't think we need another one of those.
No, I wouldn't think so either. It's interesting how there's a lot of there's a lot of noise anyway around stuff happening in these kind of areas, but
the big thing is that we really need to bring some of this stuff to fruition, so we need to really hone in on the things that are starting to work, like the red seaweeds and things that people are talking about, and going, well, how can we get enough of this, if that is the answer, and it's not the only one, there's a range of them, how can we get enough of this fast enough to start making a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And another good thing I saw came out finally, probably 10 years late for my mind, but the National Policy Statement for Highly Productive Lands, finally, there's something happening there.
It is. It's going to be interesting just to see how councils react to that. It's sort of come out right at the time when councils are making the changeover as well. I think, you know, we've all have issues with good food land being planted. But I think if you start from a blank piece of paper, because councils have been asked to sort of circle these areas and protect them, I've got to remember that we aren't starting from a place where nobody owns the land yet. So there's going to have to be a bit of negotiation around those places that they actually circle to see, you know, maybe there's some land swaps involved. I don't know. I mean, councils are going to have to manage it in a way that that works best for their individual council. So I think it's a good idea. I'm just sort of looking to see how it will develop and how it will work in practice.
Yeah, especially, you know, like we've just been talking about, a lot of new sort of council staff and that coming in, and then plus there's local government reform supposed to be coming up in the next couple of months or something, isn't it, as well?
It's still, I mean, RMA's been split into three.
Yes.
The three water things going on at the moment.
Yes.
The local government reform thing, there's a whole lot of stuff happening in that space. We still haven't got through the first RMA bill yet, and while everyone's debating three waters, we don't actually know quite we don't get to see or haven't seen yet what will be in the local government review. It would have been better, I think, to do that first and then decide what to do with the water and everything else, because no denying that something, you know, some places actually need quite a bit done with their water. But we're not sure that four entities is the right option for that either, because what that does then is you know, you ring up somebody on the end of a phone and you say, I've got a water problem, and they're going to go, well, where on earth is Raglan?
Yeah.
I mean, most people know where Raglan is, but, you know, some won't.
Someone like Orny Fiddle or something. It's like, where the hell's Orny Fiddle?
Imagine if you're in a place like Wongamomina or Mokau, the person on the end of the phone's, you know, just not going to have any idea where you are.
Mm. Yes, what we've talked about a number of times on the show, Barbara, it's like, centralisation of things isn't necessarily a good thing.
No, because the further you get away from the community, the harder it is for the communities to engage, and then we lose a lot of our, rural health, rural... We're fairly well set up for schools in terms of numbers of schools around, but, we could do with more primary healthcare services. There's a range of things that actually disappear out of a community once you start centralising things, and it's really hard to build back. And I always believe if you put everything in the hands of the local community, then people don't change all the time. When it's centralised, you know how you ring up and you ring up a department or ring up someone and you just think you've got onto the person that knows what they're doing, and they leave and someone else comes in and you've got to start again?
Yes.
You don't get that with local communities because the community is usually a lot more stable than, the centralised option.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And speaking of rural health there too, they had the first National Rural Health Conference, I think it was about a month ago, Hoiwata Tai Whenua, the Rural Health Network, had, I think it was down in Christchurch, wasn't it? Did you get along to that one?
I didn't get along to that one, but I have had some engagement with Hoiwata Tai Whenua. Look, I just think this, now that they've formed that partnership, there was lots of different groups working in the same room in terms of rural doctors and rural nurses and mental health, and now that they've formed into this organisation, there's always in numbers the opportunity to be able to advocate much more strongly. And I think now that they've joined together and they're all in the same organisation, I can actually see rural health getting a bit of a boost. They launched in Parliament. I helped host that event, and lots of MPs turned up. It was a real buzz of a day.
Good.
So, yeah, hopefully they get a good ear when they ask for something.
Yeah, no, because it was only, when was that, a few months ago now maybe, that rural wasn't actually its own thing. But it was lobbied.
In the health bill.
Yes, and that got changed, though, I understand. Is that so rural is its own thing?
Yeah, so we were all instrumental in trying to get the word rural put in there, because rural, it's not that we're different people, it's just that there's a different delivery mechanism for the things that we have in rural to what there are in urban. We're the same, we all want good health, we all want good education, good roads. My goodness, do we want good roads at the moment? We don't want as many potholes as we have.
Yeah.
We all want good water. We all want good connectivity. It's just delivered different out rurally to what it would be in Wellington, Auckland, Christchurch, Dunedin, and even Hamilton.
Oh, for sure. So that's a good one. Good on you guys for doing that one.
Yeah, well, it's important. I mean, I'm here because of rural, so, it's always important.
And the flippy floppy nature, I should say, of like the exotic pine forests and that, they're in, then they're out of the ETS. Where's that at now, do you know?
At the moment, they're in the ETS. The ETS is still going, and there's quite a review going on in forestry because there's two parts to the forestry. One is actually the production forestry that's harvested and done for trees, and the carbon forestry was the one that was concerning a lot of people in terms of pine trees getting put everywhere.
Yep.
There was a real concern about, and look, they are great sequesters, but there was a real concern that people were, the overseas investment rules were set differently for forestry than for other things, so that had to be put back to a level playing field. And I think the carbon forestry people are just worried about the spray and walk away. I mean, if people are going to be planting pine trees, it's good to know that the pest control's dealt with, that the fire risk, that the fire setbacks, all of those sorts of things, just making sure that we're not creating ourselves more of a problem than we're solving.
Mm.
So there's papers out on that at the moment. There's a group of people that think that or believe or are doing a bit of, having a canopy of, say, exotics, and then growing natives up through that over time.
Yeah.
I understand it's a lot to do with how much seed stock's already in the ground, and natives are quite hard to establish on a large scale. So bit of work going on in that area at the moment. I hope they can solve it.
Yeah, yeah. And our old friend, the organic certification bill, was that still sitting on the table gathering dust, or has something finally happened on that one, Barbara?
It hasn't come back yet. We're still waiting.
Man, that's been months and months, that one.
Yeah, well, we were working on that when in the last Parliament, when last time I was on Primary Production Select Committee before the election, which was 2 years ago. Yeah. And I know they've been putting a lot of regulatory stuff together for it, but James Shaw's continuously asking when it's going to come back, and we haven't seen it yet.
What do you do, I suppose? Yeah. Keep on knocking on the door, I guess.
Keep on asking, right? The Ag Minister says ask the House Leader, and the House Leader says ask the Ag Minister, and, one day we'll see it again, but it would be good to get it through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a lot of stuff going on, Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Busy you must be, trying to keep over all these things.
Well, I think it's hard for farmers to keep over all these things because, we talk about it all the time in our ventures and our work and where we are and when we're out and about meeting people. But, when you're busy calving and lambing and doing all the other things you need to do on the farm, it's pretty hard to keep up with all the information that's coming out.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of that, how's the spring been so far down on the farm in Taranaki anyways?
Oh, pretty good, actually. Look, there have been times when it's been a little bit wet, but I say that always with a bit of reservation because when I look at what happened in Nelson and Canterbury's had more flooding and some poor people on the west coast have basically, had three floods in a year and those sorts of things, a bit wet's really sort of got to be put in context. So, but largely it's been okay. It's going very well.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Barbara. I think we've got a thousand things to look into, but thank you again for your time coming on to the show, and really appreciate it. And good luck with all these things. And yes, we will keep in touch. And if you do come regularly, make sure to let me know again too.
Absolutely. Well, I'll pop into the studio at some stage. I've just noticed everything's really opening up now, and people are, particularly since the removal of the mask. And things like that. There's a lot of events starting to happen and people really are starting to get out and about in bigger groups than what we could do before, so it's good.
Yeah, no, it was, I think it was last weekend or maybe the weekend before the international rally was here in Raglan, and that was a great day. It was busy. Yeah, they had a big trucks thing, with big screen outside the pub, and there's people everywhere up and down the street, so that was a good sign that everyone's getting out, and it was great day.
It's always good. I would like to be there myself, but I couldn't get there. I'm quite into that, just having a look at that rally, but it looked like it went well.
Yeah, no, it did go well. It was well run. They had, just on Wainui Road there, they had, the pits so everyone could go up close and watch the cars getting the tyres changed and everything. So, it was great. Yeah, good family day. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. All right. Good. Very good. Okay. Thank you very much, Barbara, again. And, take care, and we'll chat again soon, no doubt.
Yep, good as gold. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara. Cheers. Bye. All right, that was Barbara Kuruga, MP for King Country, Taranaki in the Waikato, having a chat with her there. And after that, I'm going to play The Chills, Efflorescence and Indelicus. And I'll be back with some headlines after that one. Classic there from the Chills. Now it's Primary Sector Headlines time here on the Over the Fence show. And a roadmap has been developed for how New Zealand could grow its seaweed industry. Sustainable Seas National Science Challenge has funded co-development of the seaweed sector framework to encourage a flourishing intergenerational sector with the assistance of researchers from the Cawthron Institute and EnviroStrat. Barriers to growth such as investment, regulation and a lack of knowledge have been highlighted, and the small industry has been urged to investigate research and development for creating seaweed hatcheries. EnviroStrat Chief Executive Nigel Bradley said in 2019 the global value of seaweed aquaculture was about $24 billion New Zealand dollars and has been growing by about 7% annually since then. The Aotearoa New Zealand Seaweed Association has now been launched. And yes, you may remember Barbara mentioned in an interview just then about there's a macro algae that, largely reduces methane from animals as part of the diet. So, yeah, lots of interesting stuff going on in that area. And the cold snap earlier this week has frozen the asparagus crop of Boyd's Asparagus in Cambridge. Co-owner Andrew Keeney said the frozen spears were unsellable and would be cut down over the next couple of days. Keeney added their crop was growing across 160 hectares, which accounted for about half of New Zealand's market. He added, basically, it's just like we're starting the season again. We've been going for 5 weeks already, and this will knock us for a week, but then we'll be back at it. And similarly, a strawberry grower in Matangi said a frost had nailed about 20% of his crop. Also, kiwifruit crops in Katikati, Tapuna, Tauranga, Tapuki, Edgecombe, and Opotiki have been affected. Kiwifruit vines are currently in leaf and bud, and the frost makes the flower buds unviable. And a report from Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment said climate scientists says that 770,000 hectares of new pine would need to be planted by 2050 to achieve the temperature reduction that cutting methane emissions by 10% would achieve. That amounts to 8.5% of the total land currently used for pastoral farming, or 9 million hectares, that is. Livestock methane accounts for about 55% of New Zealand's warming, with the amount being released plateauing over the last two decades, which is interesting. Like we're just talking about, you know, more trees or not, and there's got to be better ways, surely. And falling international demand for Manuka honey has led to some beekeepers stockpiling their honey as increased cross and pressure. See more people leave the industry. Apiculture New Zealand Chief Executive Karen Koss said a surge interest in Manuka honey pushed high levels to almost 1 million, I should say, but that has now dropped to about 720,000 hives this year. All right. So here's some headlines. We'll come back to some weather after this one, which is a request for Katie next door at the Whangarei Environment Centre. It's called Confessions by the Gantry.
Skies and black and lakes, stay away and I'll die when I'm old. I got confessions to make. I lied, I didn't mean it when I said it, and oh, I said it so many times. Got a gun at the right time, shot her dead between the eyes. She was gonna rob me to the bone. Found my favorite souvenir at the Church of Twiddledear. Now I'm never feeling quite alone. I got confessions to make. I lied, I didn't mean it when I said it, and oh, I said it so many times. I thought you noticed. Lost a dad of broken hearts before. Take your hand from off my back. It's all gone and painted black. Stay away and keep her from the storm.
See, we are, ladies and gentlemen. That's the gantry there with Confessions going out for Katie next door at the Whangarei Environment Centre. And weather time now here. And a front lingers over the North Island today, bringing some showers or rain. High pressure further south with drizzle in the east. That's because a convergence zone sets up this afternoon, running through Taranaki, leading to showers, turning to some rain, with perhaps a heavy fall or two. Convection is probably not deep enough to result in thunderstorms, but a small chance exists of a rumble or two. Our west coast down south is mostly sunny today, with highs reaching the mild teens. And the rain outlook for most regions of New Zealand is looking mostly dry for the next week, so it's going to be drier than average for most. For the Waikato, some rain may develop this afternoon, with cloud and perhaps sunny spells. It's going to be rainy tomorrow, but not too much. I think it was about 15 mils or something they're expecting. Cloudy Friday again Saturday, and clouds clearing a bit on Monday, but maybe showers into next week. Daytime temperatures between 17 and 18 degrees all week. Nighttime temperatures between 11 and 13 all week, except for Friday and Saturday. We'd expect it to drop to about 8 degrees in the evenings. And the winds this week, east-south-easterly today, east-north-easterly tomorrow, easterly Friday, moving south-south-easterly Saturday, west-south-easterly Sunday, and west into next week. Humidity today is around about 90%. The sun rose at 6:41 a.m. and will set at 7:34 p.m. The length of visible light is 13 hours and 46 minutes, and the actual day length is 12 hours and 53 minutes. Tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 23 seconds longer than today. And the moon, ladies and gentlemen, is a waning gibbous, somewhere between 93 and 96% illuminated, and will rise at 10:04 p.m. and set at 7:48 a.m. And hasn't that full moon it's just been? It's been beautiful, folks, in between the clouds when you've been spotting it. And it was actually called a full double blood moon, which is rare, as it was a full 2 nights in a row, which doesn't usually happen. So, yes. And the rain this week, there was 2 mils up in Tūturu, thank you, Craig. 7.5 mils at 3 streams, thank you, Callum. And Chris from Okiti said it was fairly dry, that's all he kind of said. So there's some rain. I'll come back with some gardening after this one. It's off a brand new album by The Mars Volta, which just came out, I think, last month or something like that. And here's a track off it called... Let me just check this again. So The Mars Volta, a new album. The new album's actually called The Mars Volta. And this song is Flash Burns from a Flashback. So I hope you enjoy it.
Should ask you. I never
Flash Burns from Flashbacks there, brand new from the Mars Volta. Hope you enjoyed that one. And it's gardening time now here on the Over the Fence Show. It's a good time to plant out chitted potatoes, direct sow carrots, and interplant with spring onions. Also, sow your parsnips for next year's harvest. You can also remove spent winter crops and make hot compost with the old winter crops. And to plant this month from the Waikato. Follow me now, folks. Elisa, apricot, asparagus, basil, beans, beetroot, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, cabbage, calendula, capsicums, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chilies, chrysanthemum, coriander, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, dahlia, daisy, dianthus, eggplant, feed jars, fuchsia, gubera, I should say, gladiolus, and patiens, kumara, lavender, leeks, lemons, lettuce, lily, limes, mandarins, marigold, mesclun, oranges, pansy, and viola, parsley, parsnip, passion fruit, petunia, poppy, potatoes, pumpkin squash, radish, raspberries, rhubarb, rocket, rose, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, spring onions, strawberries, sweet peas, sweet corn, tomatoes, and watermelon. There we are. All these things keep you busy in the garden. It is spring after all. The peak time for planting, I guess. And now I'm going to play for you. I was supposed to play it last week, but kind of didn't get a chance for various reasons. But here we are. Here's a clean version. Coolio died last week. Here's one of my favourite ones of his, the clean version of Fantastic Voyage.
Just get inside. It's time to take your on another kind of trip. Cause you can't have to hop if you don't have to hip. Grab your with the extra. Close your eyes and hit the switch. But don't run to a place where everybody kick it, kick it, kick it. Get after kicking. Ain't no blood, ain't no tripping. Ain't no fools in the party set tripping. Everybody got a stack and it ain't no crap. And it really don't matter if you're white or black. I wanna take you there like the staple singers. What's up in the tank? And I know that I can bring it if you can't take the heat. Get your ass out the kitchen. We on a mission. I can live my life and maybe eat some steak with my beans and rice. A place where my kids can play outside without living in fear of a drive-by. And even if I get away from them drive-by suckers, I still gotta worry about them brothers. I keep on searching and I keep on looking, but fools are the same from Watts to Brooklyn. I try to keep my faith in my people, but sometimes my people be acting like they evil. You don't understand about running with a gang, cause you don't gangbang. And you don't have to stand on the corner and slang, cause you got your own thing. You can't help me if you can't help yourself. You better make a layup. A trip and then you die. Still trying to get a piece of that apple pie. Every game ain't the same, cause the game still remains. Don't it seem kinda strange? Ain't a damn thing changed. If you don't work, then you don't need. And only damn fellas can ride with me. Hop, pop, pop, if I push me down the block. Stay sucker free and shake the buses off your job. You gotta have heart, son, if you wanna go. Watch this sweet chariot swing low. Ain't nobody crying, ain't nobody dying. Ain't nobody worrying, everybody's fine. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. If you wanna have something, you better stop running. What you gonna do when the five roll by? You better be ready so you can ride.
Just roll along. That's what you do. Just roll along.
lies. When you're living in the city, it's do or die.
Yo.
Coolio, man, why you hang up on me? Anyway, what's up with the beach? Let's go to the beach, man.
Man, we ain't got no ride.
But wait a minute, wait a minute.
Quit calling me.
Coolio.
Fool.
Here we are, folks. That's Coolio. Fantastic. Voyage. Our big Coolio. We'll do some public service announcements here now on the Over the Fence show. And the Raglan Creative Market just was on Sunday. It was a good turnout. I think it's going to be every month, so that's going to be, again, probably next month. And the Atiriti o Waitangi Treaty Workshop is coming up, and it was scheduled for October the 39th, but now it's going to be November the 5th. So if you're planning to come along that one, it's actually going to be November the 5th now, so... and I went to the first one. It was good. So, yes, get along to that one. But it's November the 5th now. Just remember, keep that in mind when you're making your plans. What do we have here? Live and Local, October. Ruth Power, Dolly and the Hooves, Kathy and the Music Lovers. And that's going to be Friday, October 21st at 7:30 at the Old School. Co-hire entry. Door's going to open that one at 7 o'clock. So there's something else you can do. And, of course, this Friday is also the... WTF, the Whangaroa Talent Factory, right here in the Town Hall. I think it's 6 o'clock or something. The door's open for that. So, and again, that's co-hire entry, so just come along. And yeah, here we go, 6 o'clock, yeah, this Friday. All ages gig, sausage sizzle, co-hire entry. So yeah, come along to that one. I think they've got, I think Aaron was saying, maybe eight entries or something like that. So that's all good. So that's happening. And of course, in the entranceway to the Town Hall, talking about the Town Hall, the Aroha stand, I was checking it out before, it's fully loaded with a number of beautiful spring seeds there, ready for you to come and get. That's all free of charge, so put on by the excellent people over there at the Whangaroa Environment Centre. So you just walk in there and grab whatever seeds you want, and they've got potting mix and things like that, and then take them home and get something in the ground. And also the tool library, of course, is open at the Whangaroa Environment Centre as well, next door there in the Town Hall. So, yeah, they've got a massive range of cool stuff, tools and things you can use over there. So I think that's the only thing I can think of. Let me just have a quick look through this. There's a lot of kids' things happening, been school holidays and what have you. I think that's what I'll give you for tonight. Oh, there's a science night on as well. And that's tomorrow, Friday evening as well. So there's WTF. There's also the growers' market's just started as well. And that's on from 5, I think it is. So, yes, it's going to be tricky to pick where you want to go. There's the growers' market at 5, then the WTF here in the Town Hall at 6, and then Science Night at the Old School Arts Centre. They're watching a film over there called Milked, which is pretty controversial, but you might be into it. And, yes, movies and stuff happening over the weekend. Crop Swap Sunday morning, I see there, but that'll probably kind of do it. For that, and also if you want, of course, to get a hold of me, you can anytime you like at overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com, overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. So, yeah, welcome any feedback on that one, good, bad, otherwise. So, yes, there's a few little bits and bobs, what's on things. Now, I'm going to play a few Amel and the Sniffers, Guided by Angels.
Good.
Amel and the Sniffers there with Guided by Angels. And I did forget to mention also before that, of course, at November, I think it's the first weekend of November, Surfing for Farmers will be starting again, but I'll get Matty Curtick on in a week or two to have a little chat about that. And but yeah, just something to keep in mind anyways. So that'll be starting up again. I think it's the start of November, and then it'll be running pretty much through the summer from then, I think. But yes, like I say, we'll chat about that in a week or two. All right, here's Manic Street Preachers with a Baby Alien. Baby Alien there by the Manic Street Preachers. And that's kind of it for the show today. Hope you enjoyed it. And thanks again to Barbara Courier for making time to come on earlier in the show. And yes, all going well. We'll be back here, same time, same place next week. Have a lovely week, folks. Enjoy the spring weather. And yeah, ka kite. And me hi ho, I've got to go. Thank you, Fairuhi, for that one. And I'm going to go out with David Kilgore. Today's going to be mine. Enjoy yourselves, folks.
Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Thursday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the crush of sky.